Thank you so much, preacher.
Thank you so much. Well, good evening to everybody. Amen. And what a blessing it is to be in the Lord's house. Preacher, we did have the opportunity to go to school together, and I didn't want to tell anybody, but he was in charge of selling the cigarettes in his dorm. And but anyway, if you want to know any more of the stories, $10 a head right at the back. I'll be giving all the stories that you want. No, anyway, I hope you don't get mad there, right? There's a drop ceiling right here. We are the Bush family, Jeff and Mindy Bush, and we are missionaries in Argentina. In fact, this was one of the first churches that began to support us almost 12 years ago. And God has been so good to us in our lives. And let me go back a little bit further. We graduated from Bible college in the year 2000, my wife and I, and we began deputation. A year and a half later, we arrived to Peru, South America, where we did language school and ministry training. And then from there, we went to Argentina, and we've been there ever since. The Lord's been very good to us. Just a moment, I want to show the DVD presentation, give you a little bit of an idea of what the Lord's doing in our lives in the ministry in Argentina, and your investment that you have done here throughout the years in our lives. Now, we have five children. The Lord gave us our first daughter when we were in the United States, right before we left. She was born a month before we left for South America. Our second daughter was born while we were in language school in Peru, South America. Our third and fourth daughter were born in Argentina. And the Lord just gave us a son a month ago, and he was born right here in the United States. So we enjoy crossing borders every time we have a child, amen? I mean, we just have an international family, enjoy all. But the Lord's been good to us. I say many times, a lot of people, they used to laugh at me. They said, all those girls, brother, you ever going to have a boy? I said, well, you know, I have no idea. But the Lord finally gave us a boy, and our life verse is the one you probably know, and that is this: he that perseveres until the end shall have a son. Amen? And so just keep on going, my brother. It's about to come. The Lord's been good to my family and I. We're very thankful. And we've been back here in the United States for a few months now. We'll be returning to Argentina in the month of August. And so you pray as we go back. And we want to go ahead and show are we ready up there, my brother? We want to go ahead and show the DVD presentation. And I pray that the DVD, we just made another copy, so I pray, has no glitches in it and it goes all right. So I hope you enjoy this, and then I'll follow back up, speak a couple few things, and then we'll go into the Word of God.
It is estimated that nearly 65% of the world's population does not know who Jesus really is. Only around 10% of the world's population are truly born-again Christians. Out of the 106 people that die every minute, nearly 75 souls will perish in an eternal, literal hell, without hope and without Christ. There are between 80 and 100,000 gospel-preaching missionaries on the field today. Compared to the 1.3 million Avon representatives the world over, that seems like a small number. But in order to better understand just how undermanned we are, ponder this thought. If you were to divide the current number of missionaries serving on the field by those who have never even heard of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ratio would be one missionary for every 300,000 lost people. I have but one passion. It is He. It is He alone. The world is the field, and the field is the world. And henceforth, that country shall be my home, where I can most be used in winning souls for Christ. Count Zinzendorf. The gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. Carl F. H. Henry. People who don't believe in missions have not read the New Testament. Right from the beginning, Jesus said, "The field is the world." The early church took him at his word and went east, west, north, and south. J. Howard Eddington. We must be global Christians with a global vision, because our God is a global God. John Stott. Oh, that I had 1,000 lives and 1,000 bodies. All of them should be devoted to no other employment but to preach Christ to these degraded, despised, yet beloved mortals. Robert Moffat. Some wish to live within the sound of the church and chapel bell. I wish to run a rescue mission within a yard of hell. C.T. Studd, Jeff and Mindy Bush, are missionaries with the Macedonia World Baptist Mission, and they are sent out by the Whitfield Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia. After completing language school and ministry training in Arequipa, Peru, they began their ministry in La Plata, Argentina, in January of 2004. Within 2 short months of their arrival date, the Lord allowed them to open the Lighthouse Baptist Church, which is currently being pastored by Jorge Rodriguez, one of the first young men to study in the Bible College. Later the same year, the Grace Baptist Church was also started and is now being pastored by a young man who also graduated from the Bible College. In 2005, the Lord put it in Jeff's heart to see more workers equipped for the ministry. In the fall of 2005, the Macedonia Baptist College was opened with the goal of equipping pastors and workers for the furtherance of the gospel. In 2009, the college held its first graduation with 5 students. And in December of 2011, 4 more students will graduate. Currently, there are 21 men and women studying for the ministry. It's the Bush's prayer that God would use these young people to start many more churches in Argentina and around the world. It is the burden of the Bush family to see many churches planted in La Plata, a city of nearly 1 million, which is located in the province of Buenos Aires, which boasts a population of 14 million souls. Through this Bible college, many more young men are being equipped for the ministry, and the desire is that these servants of God could start many more churches. In 2010, the Berean Baptist Church was started on the south side of La Plata. It is now being pastored by Hernan Cortez, a faithful Bible college graduate whom God is greatly using. They are currently constructing a larger church building, as they have already run out of room in their small startup facility. 2011 also marked the start of the Hope Baptist Church, which is pastored by Hugo Martinez, another faithful and godly Bible college graduate. They are currently paying on a piece of property for the church building and need the amount of $30,000 to finish the purchase and complete a building. The other churches in La Plata are doing what they can concerning giving for this brand new church plant through sacrificial love offerings and donating materials. They are very excited to see another new church go up in their city, but they could use your help in this exciting church planting project. In 2009, the Lord opened the doors for the pastoral team in La Plata to preach on an FM radio station 2 hours a day, Monday through Friday. By way of radio, many have heard the gospel and are now serving God. The Lord is now opening doors to have an AM radio station hosted on the property of the Lighthouse Baptist Church. The Bushes have taken 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, as their ministry verse. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. They are planning on continuing to work in La Plata through the churches and the Bible College to equip even more people for the work of the ministry. They believe there is a great need for many, many Bible preaching churches to be started in Buenos Aires, again a city of 14 million souls. They believe that this goal can be attained by preparing others to start many more churches and ministries throughout that region. So what part can you play? Number 1, you can pray for more laborers. Kurt von Schleicher said, "Our God of grace often gives us a second chance, but there is no second chance to harvest a ripe crop. We need laborers in the field." Secondly, you can give faithfully to missions. C.T. Studd once said, "If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him." Your faithful and sacrificial giving to your local church's missions program is a vital link in the chain of missions around the world. Thirdly, and finally, you could give your life to God on the foreign mission field. The great missionary J. Hudson Taylor said, "I have but one candle of life to burn, and I would rather burn it out in a land filled with darkness than in a land flooded with light." He also said the Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed. So what part will you have for the furtherance of the gospel around the world? The Bush family thanks you for allowing them to be your missionaries in the country of Argentina. May God raise up more laborers for his harvest in this world without Christ.
All right, I... Date very quickly of what's going on in March, because we live in the southern hemisphere. Things are a little bit different. Of course, our winter, our summer are exactly the opposite in Argentina. So they just started the Bible college another semester. The school year just begins in March for us in Argentina. And they just told me, the pastors told me, that there's 33 students in the Bible college now. So we praise the Lord for that, and we ask that you'd pray for the pastors. So we praise the Lord for that, and we ask that you'd pray for the pastors. So we praise the Lord for that, and we ask that you'd pray for the pastors. So we praise the Lord for... Man, I don't even like to hear my own voice that many times, right? Boy, that'll scare anybody, amen? Well, have mercy. Well, thank you. All right. Let's see if we can go again, right? Now, what was the last thing I said? Can you play that one more time? Let me see. All right, let's go again. Anyway, you pray for those pastors. You pray for those men as they're going forward. Another thing is, you saw the last church, the fourth church, the Hope Baptist Church. We were asking prayer for the land. Well, we were able to fix a paper to continue. They're monthly paying on some payments. But now the owner has allowed us to go into the land, and now the church and the church family, the pastor, they are now on the land doing some building, and they're working on the land right now while they're paying it off. So we praise the Lord for that. We're excited for what the Lord's going to do in that new church, in the Hope Baptist Church. The book of Philippians in chapter number 1, we'll take our place there. And this is one of the interesting books that Paul wrote. Of course, many of the books, they're divided into the general epistles, right? And then you see the pastoral epistles, and then you see we know as the prison epistles. Well, these few books that he wrote, the prison epistles, one of these are the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians Paul wrote when he was in prison. Now think about it for just one second. If you were in prison, what kind of letter would you write to somebody else? I'm sure you would, just as I would begin to say, "Oh, woe is me," right? "Oh, would you pray for me? Please come visit me. Man, I've got a horrible, the food's bad and the bed's bad and it's humidity and everything else." We'd probably be looking at the negative side. But Paul uses this book, as he says in chapter number 4, verse number 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. Amen. I mean, he uses this book to encourage other people. He says in this book, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." So he uses this book as a standoff to go off and to preach the word of God and to encourage these people in the church of Philippi. We're going to go to the chapter number 1. And as we study chapter number 1 this evening and we look at just a few things, maybe you have the habit to underline a few things in your Bible, and I encourage you to do that. But as we look at it this evening, I believe you're going to see something that can greatly help you. Maybe that can help all of us. I know without a doubt it could help me very much. But the thing that he speaks of here in this passage we're going to see is the real reason that you and I are here upon this earth. Let me ask you for a second. Have you ever thought about why you're here? Maybe you think you're just here just to make some money, right? Or to have some friends, or just to float through life, or I don't know, maybe it's an accident that I'm here. Maybe it's just a coincidence, or maybe it's fate, or what really is the reason? Listen, Christians, you and I are living in the last days. At any moment, the imminent return of Jesus Christ, at any moment, he will come back for us. And I believe it's going to be soon, don't you? I believe with all my heart that the signs of the time are pointing that way. But listen, as the time is coming closer, the devil's not just trying to kill the Christian. Listen, he's trying to destroy us, and his battlefield is our minds. And I've seen so many Christians that are discouraged, and they're put to the side, and they just do not want to go forward for the Lord anymore.
And in the churches in Argentina, so many times, we get off track. And listen, if we can just come back to a simple fact that you and I know that I want to review this evening. If we can come back to the simple fact in realizing the reason that we are here on this earth, I believe it can greatly help us. So you go with me, the book of Philippians chapter number 1, and let's begin in verse number 19. As Paul writes from this prison cell, check out what he says, verse number 19. For I know, says Paul to the church of Philippi under the inspiration of God, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer, the Bible says, and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Before we go on, allow me to say this is very interesting because Paul says, I know I'm going to get out of here because the supply of Jesus Christ, he always takes care of me. And you know what? As I look back at my life, God's always taken care of me, hasn't he you? God always takes care of his children. But listen, Paul says, I'm going to get out of here because of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also because of your what? Prayer. Because you all are having a part. Listen, Christians, it would be easy for us to come into church, cross our arms and say, if God wants to do something, he can do it. He sure can, but God wants to use you and God wants to use me to do that work that he's going to do. Now we see Paul as he goes through here in verse number 20. Look at what it says here. The Bible says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be, help me with the next word, shall be, what does it say? Magnified. Help me, what does it say? Shall be what? Magnified. In my body, whether by life or by death. Dear beloved Christians, the first reason that you and I are here, as we see in this text, number one, is to magnify Jesus Christ in our lives. To magnify him, what does that mean? That simply means that he is going to show through our lives. Paul said, look, from here from prison or living in that city in Philippi, visiting you or wherever I'm at, I desire with all my heart that he can be magnified. In other words, that's your testimony and that's my testimony. You see, Christians, let me go back a little bit further, but in Argentina, I know without a doubt, we've knocked on people's doors before, or we've talked to people, and do you know, we've had people say this, and you might even have heard this yourself, but I've had people say, I will never go to that church. I say, well, man, well, we started, you know, so many years ago, why in the world? I've never seen you come into church. They say, because I know somebody that goes to your church, and they might act like an old saint in your church, buddy, they act like the devil at their house. Listen, because of a bad testimony, you know who takes all the guilt, all the problem? The Lord Jesus Christ. When you and I do not live the way that we should live, magnifying Jesus Christ, he is the one who always takes the blame. Have you ever heard anybody say, man, I ain't going to church full of a bunch of hypocrites. You ever heard that one before? Man, I hear that all the time. People, listen, people blame God for the way that you and I as Christians sometimes do not portray God. Or better said, the way that we do portray God in the wrong way. As we go over to the book of Matthew chapter number 5, you remember that we're the salt of the earth, right? We're the light of the world, verse number 14 in Matthew 5. Listen to this. In verse number 16, just a few verses down, the Bible says, listen, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In other words, your life is supposed to shine so bright that people see you and they say, boy, there is something different about him or her. You see, Christians, the way that we treat our spouse or our family or the way that we live at home or the things that we do, it is supposed to be different to let people know there is something different about them. I want the same God that they have. You see, you and I, God, hey, if God wanted, he could write on the wall as he did in the book of Daniel. He could scream down from heaven if he wanted. But God chose to use you and me as human instruments. And we must magnify him in our bodies, in our lives. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 31, the Bible says, whether we eat or we drink or whatsoever we do, do it all to the glory of God. You see, our lives are supposed to glorify Jesus Christ. You ever heard this before? Have you seen, better said, this before? Sometimes in Argentina, the people pull up there and the vehicle, they'll get off the bus and they'll walk in. You know, it's very interesting because if you stand outside and you watch them, they'll come on up there and in the car, I mean, they're giving it to each other. I mean, they're, kids, would you shut up back there? Would you leave me alone? I mean, they're giving it to each other. And why don't you quit bothering me? And all of a sudden, they pull up church. Have you ever seen it? They pull up church. They put her in park. And all of a sudden, when the doors open, it's just like this spirit, Holy Spirit air comes in the car. But they get out of the car and they say, how you doing? God bless, I am doing wonderful. the great creator of heaven is blessing my life. I'm like, good night. Man, they come into the church and boy, we start singing. They say, holy, holy, holy. But I mean, they got it going. I mean, they praise the Lord. That's good. Amen, bro. Boy, they leave and they say, man, that was a good service. What a blessing. Boy, that was good music. And that was a blessing message. Boy, it was good to see everybody. All of a sudden, they get in that car and they're, oh, that was just a wonderful time. But when the last door closes, it's like the Holy Spirit error leaves the car. And there they go at it again. They start put her in drive and start to go home. Would you be quiet back there? What in the world ever happened? Man, they're giving it to each other. You know what? Many times our lives are like that. We have a Christian life at church and another life at home. You following what I'm saying this evening? But listen, the Christian life is not something we do on Sundays and Wednesdays. It's a way we live. Amen? It's a 24-hour a day thing. We are supposed to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. If you leave your place there in the book of Philippians, we're going to go back there. Go to the book of 2 Timothy in chapter number 2. 2 Timothy in chapter number 2, very quickly as we make our way over. Now as we make our way over to 2 Timothy chapter number 2, we see once again that Paul is writing here. And as he writes under the inspiration of God, he's writing to a different group this time. He's writing to his son Timothy in the faith. As he writes this book, he writes 1 Timothy, the first letter to him. 2 Timothy, the second letter. And as we go to the second chapter, the division of this book, I want you to see what it says here. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 1, look what the Bible says. Thou therefore, my son, Paul says to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Look at verse number 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me, Paul, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Timothy, you commit it to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Follow with me very quickly. Realize, first of all, that you and I as Christians, we are here. In this church, yes. In this life, yes. In this state, yes. We are here for a purpose. Dearly beloved, it's not coincidental that you are here. God has a purpose for your life. The first purpose that God has for your life, number one, is to magnify Jesus Christ. Help me out. Why are we here, number one, to what? Magnify. Why are we here, number one, to what? Magnify. Magnify Him. But listen, as we go to the next step, Paul says to Timothy, number one, we are here to magnify, but listen, number two, we're also here to multiply. Multiply? Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, God has given me something, and Timothy, what God has given me, I've given it to you, Timothy, and those things that I've given to you, Timothy, among many witnesses, Timothy, I don't want you to put them in your pocket, but I want you to grab a hold of that, and I want you to give it to not just regular men, but to faithful men. Men who won't throw it under the table, but they'll grab what they learn and they'll pass it to others also. Listen, and they'll go from one generation to another, continually teaching others also. Listen, multiplying themselves. When the Lord Jesus Christ left this earth in Acts chapter number 1, he told you and I that we are his witnesses. You and I as his witnesses. Then he gave us the great commission of Matthew 28 and Mark 16 and Luke 24 and John 20. And as he gave us the great commission, he told us to go and to preach the gospel. Listen, Christians, you and I are not simply supposed to pass through life, but while we go through life, we are supposed to share the gospel with other people. We are supposed to multiply ourselves spiritually as Paul did everywhere he went in the book of Acts in chapter number 17. The Bible teaches us that Paul, whenever he went into a city, he had a custom. He had a certain habit that he did. He would always enter in and he would always preach the gospel. He would always leave that area with a group of Christians. He would always preach the gospel. Listen, multiplying himself over and over so that other people can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not long ago, I heard that in the United States of America, listen to this, in the United States of America, and I've seen it myself as maybe I went to Walmart or different places, I've seen ladies, listen, American ladies who are dressed with the Muslim attire. I don't know if you've ever seen it. But I'm not talking about people from North Africa or from the Middle East. Of course, we've all maybe seen that knocking on doors or going to a store. But I'm saying American ladies who have been converted to the Islam religion. And I've heard within so many years, follow me, within so many years, with the rate that they are converting other people and multiplying themselves by converts or by having children, listen, within so many years, the United States of America will be a Muslim nation. I have no idea if that affects you at all. But buddy, that scares me to death. Once the United States of America was known as a Christian country. Once the United States of America was the only, maybe the only group that stood behind Israel, and now it seems like we're turning our back on Israel. Hey, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but simply what I'm saying, listen, if that they are converting other people to the Islam religion, having so many children, because they realize if they have so many people, they can take over our country. Listen, we have the gospel, the real truth. And if you and I as Christians zip our mouth shut, never carry a tract, and never share the gospel, soon this world will be handed over in the devil's hands. But the Lord Jesus Christ, when he left here, he said, hey, my last wish, your first command, it's that you would all go and all share the gospel. And I read in a book that it says that less than 2% of faithful Bible-believing Christians have ever won somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that that's not our situation and in our churches, but listen, that means if there's 100 people, only 2 people have ever won somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not a good stat. And we sure will not be able to go forward, and we could all say, boy, we need more Christians in the church. We need more Christian influence in our life, and we like to say about the politics and everything else, but listen, you and I have a mouth that must be preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your preacher just a moment ago said they're going to have a soul-winning seminar. Buddy, I challenge you with all my heart. Jump in there. Come 5:30 on Sunday evenings. Come when you may. But you know what? Get involved. Put those tracts in your pocket and go out there and begin to share the gospel. God gave you neighbors. God gave you friends. God gave you relatives that only you can influence like no other person. It's your job to share the gospel with him. Allow me to say just one quick testimony of some of the pastors that are on that screen there. Hernan and Rosa, they're a sweet couple, was coming to our church, the Iglesia Bautista del Faro, Lighthouse Baptist Church. And I remember that we used to pick their kids up for Sunday school. And as we would pick their kids up for Sunday school, they never came to church, mama and daddy. They never came to church, nor did they want anything to do at church. In fact, when some of the ladies would go over to visit those kids, I remember that according to his testimony, he would always run inside. He never wanted to talk to those crazy people from that church. But one day, he decided that it wasn't going to go any further. According to his testimony, his wife 2 times went into the bathroom, tried to cut her wrist, and she tried to commit suicide. He was going to get rid of his wife. Things were not working out good. And so as a last resort, he grabbed the hold of his wife's hand and he brought her to church where the kids went just to see what's going on. They both came to church. They both heard the gospel. Both of them got saved. They got baptized, they began attending the church, things began to happen in their lives, they began to listen, they got into Bible college, I began to give them opportunities to preach just a couple minutes, and boy, his life began to change. And one day, I mean, they were bringing people to church. And I'm not talking about just a couple people, but they were bringing people just by the heap loads, they were bringing them in. And I was thinking, praise the Lord, I wish I had a whole bunch of people in our church who brought so many people like they did. I mean, they were just bringing people in, they'd fill up the bus. So one day my wife asked her, she said, Rosa, how in the world are you bringing so many people to church? I mean, we're curious. This is just great. And so listen to this. A brand new convert, this is what she says. Well, what I do, she tells my wife, what I do is I go out there and I knock on somebody's door and I tell them that today is my birthday. And so I tell them that I'm going to have a birthday party, so come out to the side of the street at this time and a bus is going to pick them up. I'm going to take them to my birthday party. So sure enough, that bus comes on by. They get on the bus, and we bring them to church. And my wife said, well, don't they realize when they get to church it's not your birthday party? Listen to this. Brand new Christian said, yeah, but by that time they're hearing the gospel, so it's all okay. I thought, you know, I didn't have the heart to say you shouldn't lie to people. I thought, praise the Lord, you're doing good. Continue lying. God bless it all. Amen. I mean, I thought, what are you doing? But you know what? She might be creative with her ideas. Amen. But she was bringing them in, buddy. Listen, when the Third Baptist Church started, the Berean Baptist Church, when it started on the southern end of La Plata, city of 1 million people where we're working, when it started, they took, listen, many of those people that live over there went over to that area and began that church. The majority of the people that went to start that church, listen, were people that they brought to church or won to the Lord Jesus Christ. They started a whole church. Listen, they pulled about 50, 60 people out of our church to go start a new church, and the majority of the people, they brought to church themselves. Hey, that's the way to start a church, amen? I mean, if you would ask her, why in the world are you doing things like that? You know what they would say? God changed my marriage. God gave me a home in heaven. Buddy, I got to share this. You know what, Christians? God, play a little game with me, if you would, very quickly. Horses reproduce what? Don't get scared. This is an evolution class, right? Okay, horses reproduce what? Horses, right? And cows reproduce what? Cows, right? And fish reproduce what? Fish, right? And monkeys reproduce what? My in-laws. No. Listen, hey, that's not good. My wife's in here. Now, listen, and monkeys, you know, everything reproduces after its own kind, right? Listen to this. Did you know, spiritually speaking, that you and I as children of God are supposed and commanded to reproduce ourselves? You see, Christians, you and I are supposed to multiply ourselves. Where are the future missionaries supposed to come from? Where are the future preachers supposed to come? Listen, I'll tell you where they're supposed to come. They're right over there in cadets. They're right here in our church. God is wanting to use them. Listen, when you and I teach our children and tell our neighbors and other people about the Jesus Christ, we are multiplying ourselves so the gospel of Jesus Christ can go forward. You see, it's not an accident that you are here tonight. And listen, although the devil begins to confuse us and think, oh, we're here for the money. Oh, we're here for the friends. Oh, we're here for the party. Oh, we're here to be famous. We're here for all these reasons. Listen, when you and I are looking around here, we've got our eyes off from up there. And we're no longer useful in the Lord's work. But I plead with all my heart this evening, return back to the Word of God with me this evening and realize there is a purpose for your life as it is for preacher's life, for my life, for anybody's life. There is a purpose. God wants to use your life. Number one, we are here to magnify Jesus Christ. Why are we here, number one, to what? Magnify. Help me. Why are we here, number one, to what? Magnify. And number two, we're here to multiply. Why are we here? To multiply. Number one, to magnify. Number two, to what? Multiply. If you take God's word and return back to the book of Philippians chapter 1 where we started, I want to show you one other thing very quickly. Philippians chapter number 1, and look at it if you would, right where we left off in verse number 21. The Bible says this, and I'm going to read it, and I'm going to ask you to help me in certain parts, and it's very important. Please give me a hand because I want you to see this, the emphasis that we're going to put here. In verse number 21, the Bible says this, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Verse number 2 of Philippians chapter 1, verse number 22, the Bible says, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I want not. Verse number 23. For I am in a strait, in other words, a tight spot. I am in a strait betwixt two, having the desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Look at verse number 24. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for who? Look at it. Verse number 24. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for who? You, Paul says to the church of Philippi. Look at verse number 25. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with who? You. All for your furtherance and joy of faith. Verse number 26, follow it. That your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to who? You. Again. Now follow with me very closely. We are here, number one, to magnify. Will you help me out? Number one, why are we here? To what? Magnify. Number two, we're here to multiply. Why are we here? Number two, to what? Multiply. Win other people, Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, listen, we are here to minister. Minister? Paul said, look, I am in a tight spot between two. I would love just to leave on out of here and get up to heaven. Boy, it would be better in heaven because as the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? I mean, our last breath upon the earth is our first breath with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our last day here, our first day there. Paul says, man, I would love to get on out of here. No more sickness, no more pain, no more problems, no more taxes as April comes up. Amen? I mean, no more problems in this world. I would love to get on up there with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, but he says, but it is more needful that I stay here for you, the church. Paul says, look, I want to minister. Listen, do you know the word minister is a fancy word for serve? Paul says, I am here to serve you. How many of y'all would agree that you want your life to count and you want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with your life? How many of y'all want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Raise your hand, would you? I believe that would be almost all of us. We all would say, boy, I want to serve the Lord. Now follow me. Did you know it is impossible to serve him without serving others? And although we might say, yep, it sure is, brother, I realize, listen, follow me. And although we know in Galatians 5:13 that we're supposed to serve one another, we know, listen, to serve him, we must serve other people. But listen, did you know the biggest problems that we have in Argentina, to not say that the problems in the state churches, listen, the biggest problems that we have in the churches in Argentina, you know what it is? It's not the external fighting and problems that we have. You know what it is? It's the internal struggles of our people arguing and fighting one against another. We just seem like we can't get along. You know, the Lord's blessed the Lighthouse Baptist Church. The Lord greatly blessed it, the first church. The Lord's greatly blessed it. And in Argentina, in Buenos Aires, in La Plata, where we live, it's a very multicultural church. We have people from Peru, from Bolivia, from Paraguay, from Colombia, from over in Ukraine, from Hungary. We have people from all over in Europe and all over in South America. We have all kinds of different nationalities. And what a blessing it is. But listen, you know when it's time to go to fellowship? When it's time that we're going to have a fellowship dinner and everybody's going to eat. Boy, we get on over there and all of a sudden, the Peruvians, they run over and they grab their rice. And they all start eating together. And the Bolivians, they run over there and they grab their food. And the Argentines, they grab their beef. And the Paraguayans, they grab their sopa paraguaya. And everybody begins to run and grab their own food. And I say, what are you doing? Stop. Can everybody calm down and begin to share with everybody else? And almost like we do in the nursery, right? Kids, get along. And although you might, boy, that's awful silly. Listen, you know, many times the Lord cannot bless our churches. Follow me. The Lord cannot bless our churches because of the attitudes we have against other people. And although you might look at me very saintly this evening, that halo might be stuck there up on your head with those two horns that are sticking up. So don't get mad at me. Preacher put me on the list, amen? Get mad at him. He invited me. Listen, all I am saying, dear friend, listen, when was the last time that you simply picked up the phone and called somebody that hasn't been to church lately? When was the last time we used our phone to text somebody and said, hey, brother, praying for you. I love you in the Lord. When was the last time you went to somebody's door and knocked on their door and said, hey, man, we haven't seen you lately. Just wanted to come by and say hi. We sure appreciate you. When was the last time you made a pie and just took it to somebody? When was the last time you simply extended yourself to serve other people in the church? You see, many times we come in and we have the attitude, hands crossed, what you got for me today, preacher? And the Lord said, whoa. We as a body of the Lord Jesus Christ, all members working together. If we're supposed to go forward, all the members have to be functioning and working together. You see, Christian, we're here because God wants to use our lives. God can use the angels or anything He wanted. Listen, but He chose to use you and me as human instruments so that we can magnify Him. We can tell other people about Him, multiplying ourselves. And we can minister to other people, therefore ministering to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we arrived to Argentina, we started the Lighthouse Baptist Church. There was an old building in town, an old storefront, and it was an old paint building. And we renovated that old paint building. We began to clean it all up. It had been abandoned 7-8 years, and the windows broke, and all the dirty everywhere. And so we began to clean it all up, and we began to pass out flyers. Thousands of flyers began to go out and pass out these flyers. This March 21st of 2004, we're starting the Lighthouse Baptist Church. We began to pass out those flyers. We put it in the newspaper. And 2 months after we arrived in Argentina, we started the Lighthouse Baptist Church. Boy, we were excited. We were pumped up. Buddy, they're going to come rushing in. And you know what? They didn't come rushing in. They trickled in. And just a little bit at a time. And I remember, boy, we thought, you know, things were going to happen. The Lord began to bless later. But, you know, there was just a couple people there. I remember one of the first men that we had. His name was Basilio. Basilio was an older man. And Basilio lived in front of the church, a little bit catty corner over. Basilio, he was an older gentleman that had a lot of mental problems and a lot of physical health problems as well. Basilio, he would come across the street and his right side was paralyzed. So when he would walk, he would drag his leg. And so Basilio would come over to church and we would open that door. And I'd open that door and go on in. And here comes across the street Basilio. And everybody knew him. Basilio was going to come because he would drag his leg and he'd make a noise. And you'd always hear, and he'd drag that leg right on over. Basilio, he was a faithful man. I mean, a blessing. I mean, he was a blessing to our church. Because when there was only a few people, Basilio was always there. Basilio would always come. And I remember Sunday morning, boy, we'd open up the church, and here comes across the street. Hola, pastor. Hey, Basilio, ¿cómo estás? Bien, pastor. Go ahead and go on in, Basilio. Okay, pastor. He'd drag that leg. There we go, right on in. Sunday night, man, I'd get church early. I'd open that up, and here comes across the street. He'd see my car pull up, and hola, pastor. Hey, Basilio, ¿cómo estás? Bien, pastor. Go on in, Basilio. Okay, pastor. He dragged that leg right on it. Wednesday night would come. Here come Basilio. Hola, pastor. Hey, Basilio, ¿cómo estás? Bien, pastor. Go ahead and go on in, Basilio. Okay, pastor. He dragged that leg right on in. Boy, Friday night would come. We'd have youth meeting. And I was in charge. At that time, I was in charge of absolutely everything. I did the singing. That was poor. That was poor music when back then. But I did the singing. I did everything back then. And I remember we'd have Friday night, we'd have youth meeting. Here comes Basilio. He'd see my car pull up. He'd come across the street. Hola, pastor. Hey, Basilio, ¿cómo está? Bien, pastor. Go ahead and go on in, Basilio. Okay, pastor. He dragged that leg. I said, Basilio, tonight is youth night. He said, can I come, pastor? Sure, Basilio. You know, everybody else is 14. You're 104. But go on, go in. Here you go. He'd sit down. And everybody's looking. I'm thinking, man, who in the world's that guy? Here, Basilio. I mean, he was always there. Saturday morning, buddy. We'd 10 a.m. open those doors. And here, let's have something, buddy. Let's go out and pass out some tracks. And Basilio would come on in. Hola, pastor. Hey, Basilio. Come on. Okay, we've got some tracks. And Basilio would put those tracks in his hand. He walked down the street. He couldn't walk very well. Couldn't walk very long. But he walked down the street. Hola. 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 And he would always give out those tracks. I'd say, what a blessing. Saturday evening, we'd have the ladies' meeting. Here comes Basilio across the street. Hola, pastor. Hey, Basilio, ¿cómo está? Bien, pastor. I'd say, Basilio, tonight's ladies' meeting. Can I come, pastor? Not tonight. Go home. Okay, pastor. I mean, you go back. I mean, Basilio, he was a great guy. What a blessing. I mean, you're encouraged by somebody so faithful. But, you know, they've got to put those limits every once in a while, right? And so, sure enough, man, I would get up there and at the beginning of the church, and I remember I'd preach, get involved in the church and give your life to God and begin to serve God. And I'd preach my heart out to the couple people there were. And sure enough, we get in the invitation time. Here come Basilio up that aisle. He dragged that old leg. I say, Basilio, what can I do for you? He says, preacher, I want to get involved. I said, well, Basilio, you know, I'm thinking in my mind, yeah, Basilio, you got mental problems and you're taking a lot of medication. You got a lot of health problems, but what in the world am I going to tell him to do? So I said, here you go, Basilio. Here's the songbooks. And Basilio, before church and after church, he would go, he'd put the songbook down, drag that leg, put the songbook down. After church, he'd pick that songbook up and go and pick that song. I mean, he was just a blessing guy. And you and I would hear that and we'd say, what a blessing, old Basilio. Boy, it's a blessing when you have people like that. Listen. Although you and I would look and say, what a blessing. Inside, you know as well as I do, we're almost having a little bit of pity on that fella. He's a good old fella, although he doesn't understand everything, although, you know, he can't get around. But what a blessing. Listen, I fear that maybe old Basilio, who has mental problems and health problems, understands a lot more about the Christian life than you and I do. You see, Basilio realizes life isn't about him. Life's about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he can do for him. So I plead with you this evening, listen, would you return to the basic principle with me this evening? To the basic principle of God, life's not about me, it's about you. Why do you have me here, Lord? And Lord from heaven, as he looks at us running around like ants in the rain, and as we're grabbing a hold of everything we can, material and friends and everything else, the Lord says, stop, halt. Why don't you realize that you're here because I have a purpose for you? So I pray with you this evening, my dear friend. Why don't you realize that God has a purpose for your life and God wants to use your life? You see, God didn't make anybody robots. Wednesday evening, must go to church. Sit down on pew, listen to preaching, must go home. God didn't make you a robot. If you're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, you must do it out of your own free will. You know what? Many times we as Christians, oh, we're faithful. But in our hearts, we're in other areas. So I plead with you, realize we are here, number one, to, do you remember? Number one, to what? Magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, we are here to multiply ourselves, sharing the gospel with other people. And number three, we are here to minister to other people as we minister to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, and when you and I realize it all comes back together, only living for the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe we will have purpose in our life and be able to go forward. Father, I sure pray and I ask with all my heart this evening, help us. Oh God, may we be simple, just like Basilio, and realize that there is something in life. It's not about us, it's about you. Oh Lord, the question tonight is not if you are going to do a work. The question is if we are going to have a part in the work that you're going to do. Bless these sweet people here this evening, Lord, and use them for your honor and for your glory. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. In just a moment, preacher's going to come up and he'll conclude the service as he feels fit. But allow me to ask you, dearly beloved Christian, if you are a child of God, you know you're going to heaven. Listen, you know what? The most miserable person might not be the person that's not saved. It probably is. the child of God who knows what he should be doing and is not obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you return to me to that simple fact and say, Lord, help me to begin to share the gospel with other people. Help me, Lord, to begin to minister, involve myself into this church. Help me, Lord, to live my life that would live and honor you with everything. Oh, Father, we need you. God, we love you. We ask that you would help us, Father. Use us for your honor and glory. In Jesus' precious name.
Heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed. Let's all stand together quietly. You've heard a powerful message tonight. They're going to begin to play through softly. Maybe tonight God is dealing with your heart. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you've never trusted Christ and Christ alone. Why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're a child of God that the Lord has put his finger on something in your life. I ask you, are you truly magnifying the Lord? Are you multiplying? Are you ministering to people? It's all wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be honest, we're selfish people. And the Lord wants us to get our eyes off of ourselves and upon him. As Brother Gary begins to sing, if God is dealing with your heart, you need Jesus, you need salvation, come. You want to come just talk to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to magnify you. Help me to multiply. Help me to minister. Whatever it is, as Brother Gary sings, leave your place and come. Would you do it? Come now. Come on. Talk to God about it. Through softly, you can look this way. We're just about through. The Lord's got his hand upon this young preacher. I'm calling him young because he's my age. I'm glad that our mission money is going to a family like this. God's using him in a great way. As Brother Gary was singing, I was sitting here just looking out some. The Lord just began to burden my heart. My, what would happen if just these people here tonight would determine to do those three things that were preached on tonight. What a difference would come to this area and to the world if all of us say, I'm going to leave this service and all I want to do is magnify the Lord. That's it. I'm going to begin to multiply myself and I'm going to minister to other people. Simple thought, but it's powerful, friends. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask Brother Jeff and your dear wife, Mindy, if you wouldn't mind to make your way out to your table. I don't do this often, but I'm going to do it tonight. Our church has obviously given him a love offering. But maybe you want to give a little bit more. This is a missionary that we are supporting. I mean, in 11 years, he's my age. And God's used him to start that many churches already. And then people that they reach, they take people out and start another church. I mean, you've got part in that if you're giving to the mission program. So maybe tonight, maybe you want to take a check out and just write him a check. Maybe you want to take some loose change or some dollar bills. Or if you've got a $20 bill, $50 bill, whatever. On your way out, just shake his hand, put it in your hand, shake it and leave it there. I think the Lord will be pleased with that. Amen. I'm excited about what the Lord's doing with this family. Aren't you excited that we're supporting somebody like this? Isn't this great? Praise the Lord for it. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed. Father, bless this time. Thank you for this service. Thank you for this message. Thank you for how you're speaking to my heart through it. Lord, I need to do a better job of magnifying you, multiplying myself, ministering to other people. Bless us now, I pray. Bless this family. Keep your hand upon them. Give them many more years of service. And may many more churches be established as a result of the life and ministry that you've given them. We love you tonight. Help us to love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, folks. Love you all. Have a great rest of the week. See you on Sunday. Saturday morning visitation. If you can be here at 10 o'clock, you come on, okay? Saturday morning, 10 o'clock.